Friendship Podcast, Drake randomly jumps in to recap his second MMA fight. I became a dad of two. Big weekend for the walk-ons. Hope you're enjoying your entry into this summer. Slower podcast schedule, but we will be here every single week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. As always, enjoy the show. Let's have a day. Let's go. Grant, Friendship Podcast, bring us in.
Oh, well, welcome to the Washed Up Walk-Ons experience. And I would like to open up with being the very first to congratulate Mr. Tyler Kluwer on the birth of his son. Congratulations.
We're here. Just wait, another little 5'10 stubby guy going to be running around in 18 years looking for a...
I was going to say, if Eicholt is listening to this and you want to get on it early for the class of, hold on.
2043. Maybe 44. Probably 44, yeah.
Breaking.
There it is.
4-star. Sign it. Uh-oh. I have more breaking news.
Wait, what the fuck?
A guest has joined.
This was unexpected.
Can the guest hear us?
What's up, squad?
Oh, my goodness. And actually... You know what? Sudden change. It was my favorite part of summer conditioning. Drake Kulik has joined the chat. 2-0 Drake Kulik after submission TKO this past week.
Not TKO, submission.
That's just a straight KO, right?
No, it's a submission.
Choked some guy out with his legs this weekend. Hey, buddy.
How you doing, fellas?
How are you doing?
Tell us about your weekend.
Dude, everybody, I tweeted it out. I tweeted out the, what was that, the weigh-in picture? Poor guy got, your opponent got just
a double. He got fat shamed.
He got shamed bad.
Okay, so first and foremost, let me compliment my opponent, right?
There we go.
That kid is a really tough and really... respectful mixed martial artist. He was a hometown kid. He's from Kingman, Arizona, which is about 40 minutes south of Laughlin, southeast, I guess. And I'll tell you what, man, there's not a lot of guys who would show up the day before a fight and see like the physical disadvantage that they're at and still show up to the fight the next day. And I mean, hey, we're just fucking calling balls and strikes here.
I was going to say that is a very clean way of saying I am a fucking beast.
The picture doesn't lie. There is
brother, you look great, man. You look shredded. You look unbelievable.
And not only did he show up, he fought me and he did not look for a way out and he made me end it. That kid was not looking for the exit at all. He showed up to fight, and he fought with heart and courage. And he took a couple of big shots and still stayed in there with me.
Yeah. Here we go. Grant sharing the screen. For those that are interested, it's probably disappeared off the social media. Now you'd have to go back on our profile. So go to the YouTube of this page. Watch the episode. Join the YouTube community. Subscribe and like. For this showdown picture right here, this kid, I told Drake this, I told the chat, this kid looks straight out of the Marshalltown area. I think a lot of people from Kingman, Arizona, and the old M-Town over there would get along. and you know what? The body composition, there was a discrepancy. There was. There's no doubt about that. But the first thing you said after this fight was that he, what'd you say? His head was hard.
Head was like a fire hydrant.
Yeah, head like a fire hydrant.
Hey, I wouldn't want to punch a fire hydrant.
I hit him hard, man. Like in the start of the second round, I landed a right hand that I don't know how it didn't put him down. It was so clean and it was I mean, I know he did a good job of rolling with it. He's a good boxer. He's obviously been in plenty of sparring sessions. He knew how to handle punches coming at him. But God, I clipped him so clean and he didn't go down. He kind of like wobbled into me and I clenched him and kneed his body up a little bit. I should have probably broke away and tried to strike some more because he might have been a little wobbled. But the kid was tough, man. I got respect for him.
What was his background? Do you know? Like, you obviously you came from jiu-jitsu. Was he like a boxer? Was
yeah, he's a boxer.
Boxer.
Yeah.
How much?
What was the weight class?
It was heavyweight.
So what's the top limit on that?
265.
265. Jeez. And you look like you're not walking around with anything more than 215, 220.
221 is what I weighed in, but that was at the end of the day with a nice meal in my belly.
Cheeseburger.
No cheeseburger, but I did have chicken and rice and a pile of water in me.
So how much is a pile? What are
I'm at least a gallon and a half a day.
A trough.
What would be the next level down, next weight class down?
205, which is where I was supposed to fight, I thought. But then on Tuesday, as I was beginning my weight cut, I was texting the promoter of the fight, asking her to please get my room for Thursday night as well, because I wanted to be there all Friday to do the cut properly. And she's like, there's no cut. She's like, you're fighting heavyweight. And I was like, excuse me, I've been training this whole time thinking I was fighting at 205. Like, I would have came in a little heavier. And I would especially came in a little heavier if I knew the dude I was fighting was going to weigh in at 261.
Oof. Yeah, okay. That was my next question. I was like, hey, this dude did not look like he was cutting for nothing.
See, this is the problem with fighting is you can look – There's a lot that you can maybe glean of someone's offensive ability, of like how, you know, how shredded they look. Not all the time. I think like Nate Diaz is unbelievable. Like that guy just looks like your average guy, one of the greater fighters ever. Yep. But you can't tell how hard a dude is in the head by looking at him. You don't know how tough his chin is.
I'll tell you what, you kind of could tell with this kid because he had a head that wouldn't fit in any non-custom football helmet.
It was a watermelon?
Dude, it was bigger than that. And it was also like kind of square. And then also on top of that.
Like a Minecraft block.
And then on top of that, he had absolutely no neck. Because in the first round, I had what on any normal human is just a sunken rear naked choke. I mean, the gloves do get in the way, which frustrates me. But there's nothing you can do about that. Like this choke was in and,
to protect him.
He shrugged his shoulders and he dropped his chin and I could not get my secondary hand behind his head. It was just completely impossible. And then I tried to go for a little bit of like, what do they call it? I just call it a gable grip or a naked choke. But he just had no neck, man. There was nothing to choke.
I was going to ask. So we put this out and then everybody of course is like, oh man, like, is there a way we can watch? Are you going to update us? And I'm like, boys, we are all of Twitter, we are just in the dark as you. He's going to text us if he won or not, and that's about all we get. I'll tweet out what happens, and I did. People were stoked for you. A lot of support still from the walk-on army and all of Hawkeye Nation out there. but I was wondering, because we got to see a little bit. Bo was there, so sick, by the way. And he said
that Bo and Rachel drove down to see it. 14-hour drive. They are absolute legends. Wow. For coming down and coming to support. And that was Bo and Rachel's both their first.
I don't know where you went.
Sports.
There you are.
Can we get a repeat of that, Drake?
All right. Where did I lose you? Sorry. It was their introduction to combat sports. And it was also my mother's introduction to combat sports. And my mom told me she would never see me fight. But on the same day, I had Bo, Rachel, and my mom, and my Uncle Trace but my Uncle Trey's is at the last one, all there for their first experience of martial arts being me.
That was very, very cool, man. It sounded like that was about all you had in the arena, because like you said, that guy's from pretty close there. It sounded like most of the fan base was cheering for, I forget what the guy's
name. I didn't understand why we were the co-main event and why his face was on the promo poster. And then I get there and I find out that I'm the blue corner. And I'm like, gosh, dang, like... And this is all before I find out he's from Kingman. And then once they said he's from Kingman, I was like, okay, now I get why we're in the fight spot we are, why he's the red corner XYZ. But I was confused. I'm like, am I walking into like a oops gotcha situation?
Is this guy like actually an assassin?
Yeah, you were the 2016 Hawkeyes in Happy Valley. That's you were.
I was hoping I was not about to get ha-ha'd.
Just comes out and just absolutely works you.
Is Roy Nelson's my ass?
Just it makes you look like you've never done any mixed martial arts ever.
What if Bo catches that? If Bo catches you, just get me absolutely walloped by this dude. Like,
he'd still send us the video.
Are you making him delete the video?
No, he'd
no. No, definitely not. Yeah, I'd still post the video.
I was you kind of what you said at the end of the fight was you had his back and then you kind of slipped down onto the ground.
Okay, so I use this technique, dude. It's called a broomstick, and I am so angry with myself because I did not invent this technique, but it's a technique that I showed Sully because when him and I were grappling, I was having such a hard time getting his big ass on the ground. But when I would get to his back, what I could do is I could go over his front leg with my leg and then extend it as far as I could and hook behind his back leg. And then I use a cross body 2-on-1 wrist ride to pull him into me as I'm kind of kicking his legs back the other way. And it creates this counter torque that, that makes right. them go to their hip. And I just have their back.
All right, Drake, I know it's June and everything, but we don't need to be hearing the details about what you got doing in your private life, dude.
Just mounting them.
You know, I thought he was going to go down and he didn't. So when he shrugged me off, I was like embarrassed. And then I went to upkick him. So that's what happened there for the triangle was as soon as I fell off him, I had this like embarrassing feeling inside of me, like burning red embarrassment. And then I shoot my right foot up to upkick him and he went to punch me at the same time. So he turned his body. Yeah, and as Kevin knows, you never want to be one in, one out, especially with somebody who loves triangles.
I was going to say at the end there for the untrained viewer, me, anyone else, it looks like, and I mean, this guy probably doesn't know anything about you. It looks like he was vastly unaware of your ability on the ground. It seemed as though he gave himself up way too easy and then it was just over. And so I wondered if you had tried any of that on the, like, did you try to take this thing to the ground early on round one?
So round one started the very first jab I throw, I hyperextend my elbow because I'm just way too amped. I go in there, I'm trying to stay at distance. So I threw a jab from a long way away. He sees it because I threw it from the other side of the cage and he just slips and boom, my elbow pops a little bit. I'm like, oh, that's good. So then the next jab, I get in closer, I feint a jab, boom, get him. And then I hear Bo say, no one punch, you throw more than one. So then I go throw a 1-2, clip him with the two, but I was kind of like overcommitted forward. So I just charged into a double leg, took him down. And for the next 2 minutes and 45 seconds, I had his back and I worked to choke him. I was punching him. I was beating the shit out of him, ground and pound. I just couldn't choke this kid.
Yeah, he's just – yeah. Okay.
Because I don't have access to elbows in amateur, it's really hard to finish guys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pause.
So you can't do arm bars or anything like that?
No. Arm bar, no elbows, no elbow strikes.
Oh, elbow strikes. Okay, I thought you meant like you're not allowed to like –
No, like, I could armbar.
Elbow submissions or anything like that.
No, no elbow strikes. And so it's just very hard to stop a guy in, with ground and pound with these huge, thick, padded gloves. Like, you don't think the gloves are that big, but there's a lot of padding in there. It pisses me off because it takes away so much more often. If you're elbowing a guy, it opens them up. It makes them panic. It makes them like pick their head up and flail and shit. If you're just using these pillows and all you can get is just a little force from that short distance, you know, that's just my gripe. But so for 2 minutes and 45 seconds, I had his back, finished the round, you know, punching him in the side of his head. And then the second round, I hit him with a beautiful right hand that I can't believe didn't put him down. But then I got, say that again.
How long were the rounds?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Was it going to be a 3-round fight or what was it?
Yeah, 3 rounds.
I mean, it seemed like, you know, I think Bo sent us the film from round one too. Like, even if you don't get the submission on this guy, like the score is going to go your way.
Yeah. It was a 10-8 round. Yeah. That one, I got a 10-8. In that round. And then the round two would have been a 10-8, except for I got unbelievably lazy in the mount and I just laid on the guy with both my hands pinned. And he wall walked me and flipped over. So then when he went to posture up for ground and pound, I threw up a triangle, he ripped out of it. So then I omoplotted him to a stand up. Didn't really do a very clean omoplata, so he came up and I had to wrestle him still. But yeah, that now, was
a large discrepancy as well for this fight to your first fight, whenever that was last year,
November.
Yeah, the complete, like, you felt way better. For those unaware, Drake was like deathly ill fighting his first fight back 6 or so months ago. How much better was that feeling? Good, actually. Or did you feel good?
Yeah, no, I did. I'm not gonna lie, this time I struggled more with my nerves than I did the last one, and I think it was because I was sick on the last one. And I think the last one, like, something about being sick took the nerves away, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But this one,
No, it does. It does. You're sick. You, in the back of your head, even if you're not like telling yourself, you can kind of like, you're just like, oh, there's nothing to lose. Like, I just go out there and do what I can.
Right.
Yeah.
This one, I had very high expectations on myself. And because of that, I was definitely nervous. Just like the anxiety of waiting for you, your time to make the walk as other fighters go and fight. It's tough because, like, for us at these small cards, the co-main event still shows up at the same time as the first fight on the card. And so, you know, I was in the back for about 4 hours.
I was going to say, can you describe this waiting, this waiting compared to, like a 6 p.m. game against Michigan and Kinnick, or is there any similarities?
This is way worse because for like a 6 p.m. game in Kinnick, we're not doing our meetings the night before, right? So we're getting up and we're doing a lot of football focused things with our coaches, where our mind is just like in the right mode, but you're chill and you're just having somebody walk you through exactly what you're going to do. And it kind of like keeps your anxiety low, and you have your meals with the team and stuff, and just all the things built in to the way that we do things at Iowa keeps your mind from burning all of that anxious energy throughout the day. For MMA, it's very different because I have my team, but I'm alone.
Yeah.
Like, I have Kaylee there, but at the end of the day, like, you are counting down the hours to get locked in a cage with somebody who is trying to hurt you. And it is it's a weird thing to get through the day with that just constantly on your mind.
Are you on your phone, like trying to like just distract yourself, or what do you do?
I went for a long walk and listened to some music and a podcast. I went out and talked to my mom and Kaylee at the pool. I spent some time talking to my coaches. I took a walk to get some protein shakes and some like energy stuff for before the fight. Just anything to kill time and keep your mind off of it. I tried to nap, but I just couldn't get a nap in.
Yeah, I imagine that there's a lot of like mind fuckery that goes on.
Your mind plays tricks on itself.
Like you start to like you're on your walk and you like one moment you're like, dude, I'm so trained for this. I feel so good about this. And then the next you're like, but what if this guy's actually fucking the next John Jones? And he's just and just nobody knows yet. You know, like maybe I'm just dinner. And this guy's going to be a UFC champion in 5 years. Who know, like, and you're just like,
so oh. I was lucky enough, or, you know, I don't know if you call it luck because that's just what film is, but I watched his fight. And so from 2013, I saw what he was in 2013. 2023.
I was going to say, this kid was probably a middle schooler in 2013.
Yeah.
So I'm fine when he was 12, backyard of a local middle school.
Yeah, my apologies. So in 2023, he fought. And so I watched that and I saw that I had what I believed it was a better set of skills. And so then all the pressure is just on me to go and prove that my skills are better.
Yeah. Well,
what's it? So you get in the triangle. Do you know like he's done for once you get that triangle in?
As soon as I locked my foot, I knew it was over. And he was staying postured up. And if I would have known, so let me be completely honest with you, I was getting very tired.
You mentioned us in the text afterwards that you were actually a little bit concerned about your cardio.
I'm just irritated about my cardio because I've spent so much time training the sport specific cardio and then so much time training my cardio base also, just to not feel as good as I do. And I know like everybody that I talk to, all the pros, they say you're just not going to feel like you do in practice in the fight. Everything's going to feel intense and you're just going to get tired. And that's what I'm dealing with right now is I have to figure out how to stop myself from getting so damn tired.
Yeah.
What's your VO2 right now?
I have no idea.
You don't wear an Apple Watch?
Oh, actually I started wearing an Apple Watch. I guess I should check that.
Yeah. If you go to the health app on your iPhone, it'll tell you.
Let's all take a second. Grant, what's your VO2?
I don't wear an Apple Watch. I have no idea. There's no way my phone would just.
No. I don't know how your phone would know.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Unless like you log workouts too, if you're wearing like a heart rate monitor, logging workouts on Apple Fitness.
I don't know how accurate it is because I feel
I have no idea how accurate it is either.
I'm just going to say decent is my answer. My VO2 is exactly what it should be.
It says my cardio fitness, my VO2 is 50.1, which I think it's probably a little bit higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine there's a decent standard deviation of error there.
But yeah, so you come out on top. There's always things that, you know, there's always things to get better at. What's the takeaway? What's the processing afterwards? And what are the things you got to work on most as I don't know when fight. Well, I do know when fight 3 is going to be. Are you fighting in 17 days? Are you dead now? Did you die? Where are you? Drake Kulik, answer. Are you muted?
I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't realize that when I go off of the Gmail app,
yeah.
I no longer have communications.
Sure.
Okay. So, yes, as of right now, I'm planning to fight June 21st. The first opponent that I got offered, he said no. So I got offered another opponent. I'm waiting on confirmation on opponent number two.
What's the scouting report for this guy?
The scouting report is this guy's 0-3 as a professional.
Is it like they're playing like Alabama, Georgia, and like Ohio State to open up the season, or is it like, oh no, this is a bad 0-3?
I haven't seen his fights yet. Okay. I just got this guy sent to me a couple hours ago.
And you don't care either. Like you're still correct. You're still at going into your third fight. I'm trying to bring you to your mindset here as like your career in this game, for the fans. Like you're currently still in the mode of put somebody in front of me. I don't care who it is. If they agree to let me punch them in the face, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I am solely in the part of my life right now where I'm trying to prove to myself that I can do something.
Okay.
On the flip side of this equation, I'm just thinking to myself, does Drake just end this guy's career if this guy takes this fight? Because, I mean, if you're 0-4, like, at what point did you just say that? You know,
this could be
maybe this isn't for me.
This could be the one where this other guy calls it quits afterwards.
Yeah. It's going to take 5 more fights to get to 500. Like, it's going to take over double the time. It's going to take literally you doing it all again just to get barely above.
But to be purely honest, why do we care about the other guy?
I don't care about the other guy. I'm just thinking out loud here. Like, if you're 0-4, like Drake, if you started off 0-4, do you keep going, or do you just like, damn, I actually kind of suck at this and this kind of sucks?
I personally would not keep going. I would not do that to my mom. I would not do that to Kaylee. I would not do that to my coaches.
Another congratulations, by the way, officially. I mean,
so in that case, like, this guy's back might be up against the wall. So that's a dangerous opponent.
True.
Right.
And I'm going to fight him with nothing to lose.
And I'm going to fight him like I got rabies. Because that's honestly how I fight, to be honest, man. Like, I don't spend much time messing around. I just kind of get busy living or get busy dying.
Well, these are short fights, man. I feel like 3 rounds of 3 minutes each. That's pretty quick.
This one will be 3 fives.
Okay.
Which I appreciate because 5 minutes in the first round gives me time to find that finish.
I feel like, it definitely gives you time to work on the ground more.
Definitely haven't ever been in a fight like
that. But on the flip side of that, you're 3 weeks out, less than 3 weeks out from the fight. Like, you can't do a whole lot of cardio training. You're kind of going in with what you got.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep what I got. I'm just trying to, I mean, I'll be pushing my cardio for the next 10 days. I'll be training hard as shit, but then I'll be giving my body 7 days to try and get the inflammation out, where I'm just doing heart rate spikes to keep my lungs open and my heart like used to going and my nervous system keyed up.
If anybody wants to feel the lightning on that, just go and do like get like an echo bike or you could run too. If you just like just go run for rower. 5 minutes.
Rower is what eats me up.
The rower's horrible. Mm-hmm. Like, just get a machine or some kind of cardio and go 3 5-minute rounds with what, a minute in between?
Yeah.
And just go as hard as you can for 5 minutes. I mean, the intervals are so trash, dude.
90 seconds on a rower will eat you up.
Oh God, yeah. 500 meters? All out 500? Mm-hmm. So we're gonna hopefully have fight number 3 here coming up in a couple of weeks. Everybody listening who is tuned in, keyed in, I will again. We'll try to pump out.
Will we be able to watch this
as much as we can?
I think this one may be viewable.
Ooh. Really? So where is this?
I don't know. I believe it's still in Laughlin, but it's a different promotion.
Mm. Okay.
I don't know anything about it, but a different guy offered me this fight through Bader.
That would be fun.
And Bader has been facilitating this.
I mean, I gotta imagine there's at least 50 washed up walk-ons fans out there.
I'll double it. I think at least 100.
Yeah, I was gonna say, dude, there's triple digit people who, if we pump this out, will.
Or even I guarantee you, there's some walk-on haters.
Does this?
Oh yeah. Dude, the amount of people on Twitter who are like, oh,
God, just, I want to see Drake get punched in the face.
That Kulik kid, he's got another bout. I hope he gets ran into the ground.
Absolutely. Hate watching.
I'd love to see Drake Kulik get punched cold.
This past fight, George reposted it and congratulated me. And the dude from the promoter of the fight, like, lost his marbles that George was acting on his page.
Oh, they're gonna be all over. You're gonna have any fight you want from now on. Yeah. Now that George reposted your,
you're
shit.
Gonna be in the fucking red corner now.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me the red corner, dickheads.
What does that mean? What's the difference? Is the red corner the generally
the red corner like... is the A side.
Okay. Do you have any foresight into past fight three? People were asking, what is your goal with this? Like, do you have any actual career goals, or it's literally just, okay, where can I go from here to get another fight, another slight step up the ladder, and you're just taking it one at a time?
My goal in all of this is to learn how to conquer fear and become the most resilient version of myself that I possibly can. And to enjoy the hell out of this one life. And just do shit that makes me feel alive and makes life feel worth living.
Okay. Then I nailed it then, because someone's like, on Twitter was like, oh, he's going to need to get going if he wants to like get into the UFC. And I was like, buddy, Drake fights people to feel alive and just be able to hit people in the face. And the guy was like, oh, okay.
He's like, now checks out.
I also love to put on display the skills that I've been working so hard on for the past 5 years of my life. Because in November coming up, I will have literally, aside from the new job that is really cool, effectively dedicated my entire life to martial arts for the last 5 years. And that's a long time to dedicate to something like just full on.
Yeah.
And it's fun to go out and be able to like show my mom and show my friends and stuff all the shit I've been working on.
I feel that for sure.
Yeah.
With the CrossFit stuff, like
no, okay.
No.
The practice or training to game time ratio in fighting is even worse than football.
It's even worse than football.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But also the only reason I'm good enough to fight is because I fell in love with training and had no thoughts about the fight for a long time. And like my coaches told me to pump the brakes and, you know, Bo told me to get my purple belt before I even thought about getting in an MMA fight. And he's like, having that base is going to be something that's going to come to save your ass at some point. And wouldn't you know it, because I felt so comfortable in jiu-jitsu, instead of freaking out when I fell down, I just went to my guard and ended the fight in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
So jiu-jitsu is like what you always fall back to. Like even your sparring is like, you know, like I don't feel comfortable on my feet with this guy. It's like, let's try to get this to the ground. We'll go back to jiu-jitsu. That's my home base. That's where I feel comfortable.
Always, man. The more time that I can spend on the ground with somebody, the more confident I am that I'm going to win the positioning battle, the conditioning battle, and end up winning the fight.
Drake's just really good on the ground with guys. He's like,
correct.
Get him on the ground, mounted on a guy, and he's just, that's where he feels at home. You know,
you nailed it.
Proud of that.
And he's proud of it. You know, you spent a lot of time on it.
You're damn right.
And we're proud of you. Thank you. No, it really was.
Seen the videos myself. I can agree.
Wow, great. That was on a private browser.
What did you think of my like Jason Voorhees stare down of that guy?
Yeah,
as he was walking in.
So knowing you, I feel like there's two sides of that. I feel like one, you would watch somebody else do that and be like, "Oh, this guy is like." That's cheesy as fuck. But then also when you're the guy and it's you, like you said, you've waited all day knowing that this is war. I hurt him or he hurts me. And you have to be in the right mental, like I'm not going to judge anything that a fighter does once he steps in the cage, because whatever they have to do to be in the right mental. And so if staring him down, like you have lasers in your eyes as he walks to the ring is what you need to do. Hey, all about it. And you are, I think it definitely was scary. You'll
appreciate the reason I did it was because I was trying to win the mental battle with him before the fight even started.
Yeah.
It's the same thing I did in the weigh-ins when we did the stare down. I didn't blink one time. And I also didn't move my eyes. His eyes were moving back and forth, back and forth. I kept mine forward. And I made him turn to the camera before I turned to the camera. So I was just like, I got you there one time. And then I was staring him down when he was walking down. I was like, I'm ahead of you mentally right now.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Connor, when he was at his peak in the press conferences, used to give himself a 3-touchdown lead because he would just talk so much shit and get the other guys riled up.
So emotional.
Oh my God. They go into the fight with a blurry focus. It's part of it.
That's certainly one thing that I never understood when I was younger, when they said, you do not want to fight angry. You do not want to fight emotional. And I'm like, what are these guys talking about? Like, if I was in there, I'd want to kill this guy. I'd be so pissed. Da, 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 da. No, the last thing you want to do, you want to be laser focused.
Yeah, you want a clear mind. Clear mind. Yeah, it's going to give you you're way more strategical.
And I think anger also breeds tension. And you do not want to have a bunch of tension in that cage, carrying a bunch of tension, burning out energy that you don't need to be burning out.
Yeah, especially once you understand the physiological component of it, like keeping the heart rate down and all that.
Right.
So, yeah, man, it was cool. It was cool. It was cool.
There's, go ahead, Kev.
I think Grant was.
I was agreeing. It was very cool.
Oh,
I'm a big fan of this.
What are the odds you actually? I don't even know if I'm supposed to say it. The later on in the year. What are the odds that actually happens?
There are so many variables to that if it happens, it's super sick that it happened.
Who's wiener right needs now, fluff for that to for the stamp of approval on that? Who do we got to talk to?
Kluber, would you make a trip if that happens,
bro?
It's gonna be hard, dude. He just had his second kid.
I mean, I understand that. I'm just saying.
Shout out to the kid too. Unbelievable parent of two. What's going on? Highly recommend.
Talk about that after the fight.
Yeah. I think I don't know how I could miss that, but also the extreme at which that trip. And I know that this is leaving so much to be desired for the people listening. That's a haul. I mean, that's a trip.
Bro, it is a serious, serious commitment.
I mean, that's not just
and the
like
amount of time you have to go over there to overcome the jet lag and even make the trip worth it.
It would legitimately have to be like the boys are back together and we get and all of our wives decide, yeah, we're just going to give them like 5 days.
Five days, dog. I'm talking nine or ten days.
At least a week.
For me, I'd be over there at least 10 days. That's the
you
problem.
You would.
And
I don't know.
That's where with work, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it.
I don't know if, I mean, work wise, I don't know.
When I think about it, Clue, it's 2 full days of travel. Full days.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. I know. I don't. I'm going to have to start asking Lauren right now and asking her multiple times.
He's got to take PTO from his wife.
I'm gonna have to. It's a marriage PTO that we're gonna have to. No, I would love nothing more to make it work, and I also don't know when I would ever visit that place again.
Right.
For any other reason,
you think of a better reason to though.
Right. It would be the best reason.
For the listeners, we're talking about Drake will be fighting on the moon.
It takes about
2 days to get there.
And we're talking to Elon right now. We're trying to make it happen.
Incredible training from all spectators as well.
And he's fighting an alien. Yeah, and he's fighting an alien. It's Drake versus an extraterrestrial. And there is elbows allowed in that match.
It's the gorilla. He's taking on
the one gorilla?
If you were to do that, would that be an American opponent or a hometown opponent?
I have no idea, brother. I would assume it would be an international opponent of some sort.
I hope it's a hometown, and I don't have to tell you why. Oh, man. That would be just probably the most unbelievable trip of all time if it happens and if the boys all decide to go. So cool, man. Well, that's an update on Drake Kulik. Thanks for jumping in because I had some things to talk about, a couple bullshit topics to bring up tonight. But
Drake fights get me fired up.
Oh, God.
I get all excited. Like the next morning, I just wait in anticipation of like what happened.
Yeah.
There is truly nothing like walking into a cage, nodding to the official, yes, you're ready to go, touching gloves, and getting in a mixed martial arts fight. There is nothing on earth like it.
Yeah. I can imagine. Kevin and I wrestled one time because I said Star Wars sucked ass. And
in back house living room.
Yeah, just in the living room of the back house. And I felt exhilarated. And that was as low stakes as it could be.
That's good. Okay. Kevin should have kicked your ass for that. And that's absolutely.
He says something ridiculous. Like Harry Potter is better or something like that.
And I stand by that. And Disney continues to ruin that series and that brand.
That's just pre-Disney acquisition, though.
It's true.
Wait till HBO runs out this new show they're talking about with Harry Potter.
The Harry Potter.
See if you still got all these
tricks. With Black Snape?
I have no idea. I don't know if there's any replacement.
Are they just remaking the movies or what are they doing?
Yeah, so each season is one book, is what they said.
I'm actually hyped
for that. Okay, so they're making a long version of the movies.
Correct, yes.
Which I love because that's all I ever talked about was how many details got left out. And I agree. I mean, remaking those in a TV show is going to give you, 8 episodes or 10 episodes an hour? That gives you 8 to 10 hours to give you the details.
7 movies? No, 8 movies.
Well, I mean, if they're true to the book, at least they hopefully can butcher it as much as
I will watch it no matter how bad they're
I'll be seeing it. Don't worry. I'll be there.
I said that about Rings of Power and Amazon, just that was horrible.
What is Rings of Power?
It's a Lord of the Rings prequel. Yeah.
But you can pretty well trust HBO, dude.
Did you like because I haven't gotten to this one still yet after now being a parent for the last 2.5 years. Did you like the Game of Thrones prequel?
House of
the Dragon, right?
TV from a year ago, all right?
it's Game of Thrones. It's HBO. They do a decent job. Right. It's like that story is already written, too, so they can't fudge that up so much.
Right. Cool. Well, we are – we'll be
Talk
here.
Talk to me about the kid, Clover.
Man, first of all
– casual news.
Tell us how much of a superstar your wife is.
How did you conceive?
Sexually.
Well, I want more details than that.
I'd have to imagine it was
kicked off of YouTube. If you want any more detail,
it was pretty vanilla. Drake's on point there. Real shout out to the wife. You guys and anybody listening who has kids, our audience is, I think our average listener is probably a little bit older than us. So there's a lot of parents out there, and so you guys know this. But wow, women are incredible. And you never get a better display of that than childbirth. It's unbelievable. And I'm not going to go into the details, but I will say this. Lauren was made to have kids. We've had 2 children. She's labored, like pushed for a total of like 8 minutes.
Damn.
Unbelievable, dude.
That's unheard of efficiency.
It's so efficient.
Pretty good.
I literally looked at her and told her that, like, after it happened and we're laying there with the baby, and the doctors all looked up and they're like, seriously, you are great at having kids.
Lauren's plus minus is unbelievable.
Oh, God. It's unheard of numbers. Her playoff numbers are unbelievable.
Not to get too personal, but we can't retire at this stage. Like, we got to keep pushing.
Well,
it would just be like disrespectful to the medical world.
When you're that good at it, how do you retire?
Medical anomaly, you don't.
That's like Jordan retiring to go play baseball. Like, yeah. And then he's coming back. He's like, I'm too good at basketball.
You can't retire after 2 championships. I mean, what are you doing? Yeah. So the interesting one about this was Kinley.
Ken Dog is cute as shit. And this, I mean, Lil Homie is yet to be seen. Granted, he does have potential to look like you, which would be an extreme shame.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
I mean,
hair on that guy?
Dude, the hair, man. Where did it come from?
Not from you.
Now, my dad, Todd, is claiming that he was born with a full head of hair, very similar to that, and he is taking credit for that. So that's coming from Todd. You're right, Drake. Hopefully he doesn't look like me. Hopefully he gets the same cuteness that Ken Diesel did. The interesting thing about this birth, and this is sort of where our expectations were, was Kenny was born 3 days early, so 39 weeks and 4 days. And usually the births after your first child are quicker, right? Or at least that's how it usually goes. And little guy stayed in for 41 weeks on the dot.
Wow, 41 weeks is a long time.
Was right. not coming out. So we had actual scheduled induction the day he was actually born. So we went in less hectic, right? You don't have to like water break at the house and all of a sudden, okay, emergency, we're going. You just kind of go check in and then they start the process there. But Lauren was, I mean, she was pissed.
Did he stayed in so long?
Oh my God, dude. When they get to like 35, 36 weeks pregnant, man, it is so uncomfortable. And like the stress that their bodies are going through again is just unbelievable.
They're literally growing a human being.
You guys will not. So this is fun story from Sunday when Brooks was born. So we go in, Lauren gets an epidural and that's a big needle. Okay. It's large and it's a process. It's involved. There's also like, there's complications that can happen if that goes wrong. And it wasn't going as smooth as the first time. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there, right? Lauren's the one with the needle in her back. I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, I start to get hot. And I'm like, oh, my God. Then I start to get dizzy. And I'm like starting to feel like – like,
tell me you didn't go down in the doctor's office while your wife was getting up.
I had to fight for my life to not go full pass out and make it all about me. I had to lay down. The nurse had to get me a cold towel for my forehead.
Oh my God.
What was going on, dude?
I got so nervous that this thing was going to paralyze my wife and like watching the needle go in. All of a sudden I just went white as a ghost. And the nurse was like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't think so. And I laid down and I was clammy, man.
I remember freshman year, you passed
leave it to you.
Blood too.
Yep, it was exactly like that, Kev, except for I fought it off just long enough this time to get to the couch, and then we were okay. It was fine.
Leave it to you to make your wife's epidural all about
me. All about me, dude. I'm such a puss.
Everything has always been all about fucking Kluber.
I know. I'm the biggest pussy on earth. It's unbelievable. I wish there was something I could do about it. I really didn't plan for it to be about me. But
yeah, oh, bullshit.
No, it's –
You had cameras ready.
Yeah, I live streamed it. No, it was it's amazing, dude. And the best part is it sounds so cheesy too, but with all the things that can go wrong in that whole process, man, two healthy babies that we've had, no like nearly zero complications, no extended stay or any reason to like, you know, worry and be in the hospital or the NICU any long, like as a parent, there's just nothing better than that. So yeah, I was literally, I was holding little man right before I got on here, and it's crazy, crazy.
What does Ken Dog think of him?
Yeah. You know, the jury's out.
Is she pretty jealous?
Very, very concerned and motherly emotions coming out of her. She wants to make sure he's okay.
That's her little baby, huh?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Oh, that's cool.
She is – you can tell that there's a little bit of like, oh, shit, I have to share the attention. last night – so yesterday was our first day home, 2 days in the hospital. Last night I was holding him on the couch and he was kind of fussing and I was trying to make sure that he was okay. I was trying to get a pacifier in his mouth and – Kinley was standing right there and I was kind of giving more attention to him than her. And she looked at me and just kind of started to cry and like cuddled up on the other side of me. And I was like, oh God, my heart. She's like so hurt right now that I'm actually paying attention to him and not like it's a wild dynamic, to be parent of not just one, but two. Shout out to Josie and Ike for already being here as part of the squad, just waiting on Kevin and Bo. At this point, and I expect announcements soon. We are always just waiting for you, Kevin, to give us the good news so you can get on that whenever. And I don't think we talked about this. I know we mentioned it because you guys put it on social media, but congratulations to Drake officially on air as well for the engagement.
Yes, thank you, Kaylee. They say congratulations officially on the engagement on the podcast.
Something that
you guys
a couple times we talked about in the beginning years of this, and you said would never happen. Yet here we are. So
it's crazy because Kaylee and I had the conversation many times, and I told her like I don't ever see myself getting married, but she is a phenomenal human being, and I've had so many conversations with people I respect that just said like, buddy, what on earth are you waiting for? And I was like, I'm scared. And they're like, scared of what? I mean, like, you know, Kaylee, and I mean, just you would be an idiot to not do it. And I was like, all right, you're right. I gotta put my fears about marriage to the side and just do the right thing.
Probably more proud of you there than we are of your fighting career.
I appreciate it, man. That's basically what everybody told me.
And we get another bachelor party, which.
And we get another batch party. Let's go.
And guys, I don't know if you guys know all of my Muscatine boys or most of them.
Most of them.
I think we've met most of them.
But you guys are going to get the opportunity to meet my MMA buddies too. And you guys are really going to like these
guys. That is going to be a wild clash of three worlds.
Why do I feel like part of this bachelor party is going to be at your gym and we're just going to get absolutely murked by your MMA buddies?
That's what it should be.
Lauren literally said the same thing, Kevin.
And we might have to work on that.
Lauren was like, what if one of the things you guys do is you guys just show up at the gym and he just makes you get tapped out by all of his training partners. It's like, I don't know, but I'm in. I'll do it.
Yeah, you know, whatever the basher wants, you know.
Yeah, man, that'll be fun. Grant, you got any cool news in your life? What's going on, dude?
Yeah, Rocky's sweep.
3-0 in the last three games.
3-0 in the last three. Only team in June with three wins. Pretty incredible. Stuff. No, hey, nothing.
Congratulations,
crazy.
Man.
Yeah, that's nothing. Nothing too crazy in life.
Very proud.
Just happy for the success of the co-host of
you
this,
posted
this podcast.
You responded.
I appreciate that, G-Bone.
You responded to one of their final score posts with, "What if we just never lose again?"
Hey, we have not lost since 2-0.
I was laughing.
2-0. There's the only evidence we have is that the Rockies will keep winning since then. But no, holy this is they're out of. Jeez, I mean, the way things have been, luckily, just a Rockies sweep is the coolest thing I got going on.
Hey.
Nothing as cool as having a child or winning a cage fight in South Nevada.
South Nevada.
winning all right, well, a cage fight in a little more northern Nevada would be even cooler.
That would be really
cool. Hey, I'm not saying I don't like saying never, right?
Oh, we won't say never. I suppose we'll end this thing with one thing that I did bring to this podcast, and that was, you know, and we all know how well respected PFF is around around the football ecosystem. But
PFF
I mean,
can suck me.
Yeah, they can suck it. But hey, when you put out graphics like
respect
this,
the stats respect the stats, Drake.
Yeah, I mean, there's just this is. It's hard to argue with this. Highest graded returning QBs in the Big Ten, and yours truly, Mark Gronkowski, or ours truly. Our guy, 83.9. It's hard to argue with the stats, Grant. Like you said,
it's thought provoking.
And we're not going to look at the level of competition in that rating. We're not. It doesn't matter. All these guys playing the Big Ten, and that's what.
I can't believe Altmaier isn't higher. By the way, on this, I know this is about Gronkowski, but Luke Altmaier is a solid player. I don't get.
Yeah, Illinois.
Do we believe the hype in Drew Aller? Is he like really the next fucking king or what?
I don't think they do, but I will say this: I've seen Illinois is going to be potentially a problem this year.
Oh yeah, their schedule is not hard, and they are even better than they were last year. Yeah.
Okay.
Who they got running that program?
Hawkeye legend.
Yeah. Bielema.
Oh, is he?
Yeah,
they get him in the brightest orange.
Dude,
they can
sold.
Find, they
sold out their season tickets.
That's gonna be the first.
Wow, that's a first time in a long.
They said it's the first time in forever.
Drake, Kevin, and I played
in 20 years
in some Illinois stadiums that were just
empty. There was more Hawkeye fans than there were Illini fans,
and they've sold that place out. So yeah, Illinois is on the come up, and shout out Bielema because he.
You honestly got to feel good for that program and those kids because they finally get to play in a real environment at home.
For sure.
But as like a Big Ten, like a fellow Big Ten team, that's not a program you want to be humming because like they can mine the Chicagoland for.
Oh my God!
True.
True. Yeah, if they just house all of the recruits from the Chicago,
2 hours from Chicago and 3 from St. Louis.
That's a really good recruiting pool.
And 2.5, 3 from Indianapolis. Yeah, they got some pools they can.
That's a problem if they become like good to really good.
Indianapolis is a really good high school football town.
Dude, you know how many Hawkeyes are like? Just go down the list of the last 10 years. How many guys we got from Indiana?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. I mean, facts are facts. Gronowski.
Hey, man.
Best in the Big Ten.
I'm looking forward to it. This is the time of year where I just see every tweet. It's just a highlight of everyone's quarterback, and every team is going to go on a run this year for the playoff. And
I just can't believe. I just can't believe we're going to have a Heisman finalist this year.
Amen. It's going to be awesome, right?
It'd be awesome. I know we're joking, but I think he's kind of a stud.
Can you imagine the pop? Can you imagine the pop when he? I mean, it's going to be against Albany or somebody. When he throws his first tutter.
Oh, the Great Danes! At 11 p.m. or whatever. Did you see?
What's up with the schedule? Why are we playing the two out of conference games in prime time? I mean, like, what are we?
I have no idea.
See, personally, I don't think Saturday night games are prime time, unless they're like on one of the big networks.
The true prime time is like if you're on ABC or.
Yeah. Right. Do you think the true prime time is the 2:30 slot, Kev, for college?
Man, I think Big Noon Kickoff is a pretty prime time game.
Oh, that's a Big Noon, huh?
That's a big.
It is a big game.
That's a contrarian pick there.
I like what Big Noon Kickoff does. By the way, Big Noon Kickoff announced that at Iowa State, it's going to be the Iowa State game week 2, right?
Which that had people in uproar as well.
Because it's at Iowa State?
Well, no, I think the game has always been at 2:30, to my knowledge.
Very frequently, but we played Iowa State at night one time.
The Iowa State game, you mean?
Yes.
Didn't we? We played Iowa State at night once.
You guys definitely.
Yeah, I got knocked out that game.
That explains the...
It explains
lack of memory for the game, actually.
No, that'll be fun.
Our senior year, I think we played at noon, or would have been 11.
We definitely finished when it was light out. Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't really a big deal to me. I'd much rather. I just think it's weird to. It's like, hey, let's do Albany.
Shout out to Nate the Great and Amir Smith Marset on that last overtime play, by the way, too. God, unbelievable.
Shout out to, I forget who dropped the ball on their team for a first down. So they kicked the field through overtime.
Yeah.
I want to not shout out Brian on that one, though, because he called the play to me.
Yeah, it was supposed to go to Drake, and then they audibled it. Even though he's a shitty person, too, shout out Ack on the unbelievable athleticism to score on that one play in that game.
Yeah.
Just truly unbelievable, magical stuff out of him. That was probably one of the more fun games we played in our entire career.
No, dude, I hated that game.
Bro, what are you talking about? It was like 44-41. It was unbelievable.
And I hated it.
I loved
it. We were up early, and then I think we're down like 2 touchdowns.
Dude, we played bad there for a while.
Yeah, we did. Defense.
I did not enjoy that game. Not until the very end did I enjoy that game.
No. Man, we went to Iowa State 3 times. Just 3-0. Just – can't be better.
One was easy.
No.
Got knocked out in one of those ones, too.
I guess
twice.
2013, they did all right. They beat them pretty good. I was
ready. He handled them. Yeah.
BJ Lowry's one-handed pick.
Ooh, good call. That was a sick play.
What Parker had to say about that?
Should he use 2 hands?
You jumped too early. You could have stayed on your feet.
Yeah, that sounds like Phil. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We're into the summer schedule now, a little slower. You know, I'm rocking the baby around the house now, and we're in the slow season. But as
how long we got till football season? How many days?
It's like somebody's got to count down somewhere.
90s or 80s maybe?
Like maybe high 80s, I think. 88.
80. The August 31st game one, so 31 plus another 26. What's that?
88? That's cool. We're getting there.
Getting there.
All right. Drake, good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, good to talk to you, boys.
Everybody listening, appreciate you listening. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Gang.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.